May the Lord open our minds and hearts so that we can also all participate in the readings today. Amen. On Wednesday mornings at the church, we have something called the Sermon Circle. And people gather. Sometimes there's five, sometimes there's 10, there's been as many as 15. And we read the gospel for today. We do all the readings, but we read the gospel. And quite often the person who's preaching attends so we can find out what we're supposed to say. Now, it's a very interesting group because during the sermon circle, everybody is invited to contribute. And there's always one that actually gives the sermon, and then others speak for a few minutes here and there, and some say nothing. But out of all of that, I took away information, and I went home, and I said, oh God, what am I going to talk about? They did volunteer to come up, but 10 of them at 2 minutes up, we'd be up here for 20 minutes, and I'm only allowed 12, so sorry. The gospel today was very challenging, very directive, very assertive. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you have to hate your parents, hate your children. You have to give up everything you do. You have to give up all your possessions. Very directive about what we want to do. So I looked at the second reading, and I looked at the first reading, and then I was going to phone Alistair and say, would you like to switch this week, you know? But I couldn't get him. He was away somewhere in Salt Spring, and I couldn't get him. I was stuck. So, of course, then I went and prayed, and I talked about it and prayed and went for a walk and prayed and came home and looked up one of the resources that I always go to when I'm stuck. And they had the answer to at least help me talk today. And they said, it's the one time in the whole of Scripture, in a lot of books, that the word cost is used. It's going to cost you to be a disciple. It's going to cost you everything if you want to be a follower of Jesus. Oh. So we don't have to hate our parents. In fact, I happen to like my mother and father. You know, I like my cousins. I do have an aunt in Edmonton that might help me along. She's hard to love. But other than that, you know, what is it that the gospel is trying to say to us? And he's not asking us to hate our family. He's not asking us to sell everything we have. And he is saying to us that we have to pick up our cross every day. Now, a wise person told me a long time ago, you don't have to look for crosses every day. You just get up and begin living the day, and there'll be crosses sent to you every day, which is true. But in order to be a follower of Jesus, we have to work at it. We have to make a commitment. Lord, here I am. Some of the words that we talk about is in Christian life and to be a follower of Jesus is we have to be in formation. We have to be formed by the Word of God. We have to be formed by the Eucharist. We have to be formed by the community. We have to be formed by the people that we live with. For many years, I lived in a religious community, and there could be 12 to 15 people, and we lived together, we ate together, we studied together, we did ministry together. And I can assure you that was a mystery, because there were certainly some people there I would never have chosen to want to live with. They might have felt the same about me, but I can certainly tell you there was a few. I said, these are not my friends that I would choose to be with in the outside world. But because we were in community, and because we had a common goal and a common purpose, we were able to work together. And we were able to appreciate one another. And so one of the really important things in the Christian life is that we have to be open to formation. And hopefully formation happens all of our lives, as our parents raise us, as our church gives us guidance, as the wise people in our lives talk to us. We begin to be formed. We begin to know what's right and what's wrong. We begin to listen to our conscience. We begin to say, what is it that I am supposed to do? So formation. Also, if we're going to be a follower of Jesus, we have to be open to transformation. You know, you say to the Lord, well, here I am, this is what you have, and take what you get. No, no, we have to be open to growth. We have to be open to the fact that we can always change. I always say the only people who cannot change are in the graveyard, and even they're breaking down, you know. So we're all called to change. We may not like change, but we're challenged by change. And so to be a follower, to be a disciple, means that every day we get up and we say, yes. The great mystic, St. Teresa of Avila, once said in a state of prayer with Jesus, the reason you have so few friends is the way you treat them. Because it's not easy what Jesus asks of us. And sometimes it's not clear. We start to raise children and they don't listen to us, or they don't begin to incorporate our values, or they begin to think on their own, or they begin to challenge what we're doing. We find out that we're sick, or we have a partner who is sick. We find out that somebody in our family suddenly has Alzheimer's and we don't know what to do with that. We find out that somebody at the church who's been coming for 20 years suddenly left. We don't know what to do with that. We find lots and lots of things every day that challenge us to be a disciple. And most of us, and I'm going to be assured that most of you here are excellent people, you're good people, you're fine people, and you've all said, yes, I'll follow Jesus. Yes, I want to be the best Christian I can be, but there's a few other things getting in the way. And the thing we have to look at is, what are the buts? What is in the way? You know, we have to constantly be ready to start over. We have to constantly be ready to renew ourselves. I tell people that the most familiar spot in my life, of the Christian life, is the starting line in my prayer life. I'm back there often. I go off and I'm going to pray every day for half hour, then it's 25 minutes, and then it's 20 minutes, and then it's 17 minutes, and then I miss a day, and then it's 10 minutes, and then I'm praying in the car, and then I'm swearing in the car at the traffic, and you know, I have to start over again, see? You think it's easy. I was saying to somebody this week, I was wearing my collar and coming in, and there was all this traffic. Very hard to be angry and do what you want to do when you're dressed in a collar. It's a great lesson in humility, you know? We also have to know about humility. If we're going to serve the Lord, we have to know what are our strengths and what are our weaknesses. And some people have never looked at that. What really are my strengths? I would honestly say any church group anywhere in the world, I would never be on the finance committee because you'd have no money. I may be on another committee where I can do something. I know what my strengths are. But each one of us is called to serve. Incidentally, if any of you would like to join the scripture circle, we're looking for more people. So you're invited. Like all the other activities in this parish, you are invited to participate, to belong, and to say yes. Some people say, well, I'm too shy. I don't like to do that. Or I don't like to be out there. Or I have no way of getting there. Or I don't have to do that. You know, we always have the excuses why. But we are called to understand ourselves. We're called to believe in ourselves. We're called to have faith in ourselves and faith in God. One of the parishes that I was in many years ago, I had this little Irish lady. She was a wonderful woman. And she used to sit in the very front row at every church service we had. And she couldn't see very well. So she said, I can't read. And I only hear half the sermon, but that's all right. And then she said, but I'd like a job. What job can I have? She was wanting to fulfill her ministry as a disciple. So I said, why don't you stand at the back of the church? And when people come into the church, why don't you select them and say, would you please bring up, we had a procession, would you please bring up the bread and the wine in procession? Oh, she said, I could do that. So she'd get there a half hour early with her cane and she'd look at everybody quickly and then she'd pick people. And one week I heard her say to these two people that came in, we would like you to bring the wine and the bread up to the front. And they must have said no. She said, what's wrong with you? You don't have to know anything. You don't have to think. You just have to breathe, she said, you know. And in that way, she was doing her work. It's not the way I would have done it, but she got them to do it, you know. So it doesn't matter what age you are, we're still in formation, and we're still invited to participate in the church, still invited to participate in the kingdom. And we all participate in different ways. So I invite you today to think about this gospel and think, what does it cost you personally? What does it cost you to be a follower of Jesus? And in the end, we hear, what is the Spirit saying to me? What's the Spirit saying to me? And what is the cost of discipleship for me? Amen.